Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast. My name is Emma Mumford and I'm your host. I'm an award-winning blogger, YouTuber, life coach, badass entrepreneur, manifester, and author. My mission is to awaken and to inspire women to live their best lives now and to find their purpose in life. I do this through sharing the power of law of attraction and spirituality. I hope my podcast will inspire you to raise your game and to start living your best life today. Without further ado, let's get started with this week's episode. So thank you so much for joining me for another one of my Spiritual Queens Badass podcast episodes. I'm really excited to have Alex Manzi with me today. And Alex, if you didn't know, having spent years working in creative industries as a social media producer at companies such as Grey, London, BBC and Spotify, Alex embarked on his own path of self-discovery and creative output. A huge part of this journey has been the birth of Alex's Dreamer Disease podcast, a wellness and lifestyle podcast. Whether it's a discussion about everyday struggles or hearing the story of an inspirational guest, the aim is to inspire the listener to make a positive change in their life so that they can start becoming the best version of themselves. The podcast has been featured in the top five of the iTunes health and lifestyle charts, as well as having been a featured podcast by Spotify on multiple occasions. So thank you so much, Alex, for being here today.
No problem. My pleasure. I'm looking forward to it.
I am. So my first question for you today is, when did you spiritually awaken? What's your story? And do you class yourself as spiritual?
Yes, 100%. Yes, definitely. Most definitely a lot. That's how I would class myself. But my awakening would have been, well, there's kind of like two moments. So my actual awakening / realization of having been in a sort of downward spiral and suffering from like a bit of depression would have happened about 5-6 years ago when I was with an ex-girlfriend at the time, and we were in her bedroom having like a, you know, typical like lover's tiff about nothing. And she was kind of sat at her makeup counter, I was sat on the bed, and we were going back and forth about whatever. I can't even remember what we were arguing about, but whatever it was. And all of a sudden she turned around to me and she was like, why aren't you saying anything? Why aren't you saying anything? And I was kind of like, looked at her as if to be like, what? I don't know. I don't understand what you're saying. And something in that moment dropped that what I'd been doing was kind of sitting on the edge of her bed in silence, listening to her have a go at me whilst I was kind of responding and having the argument in my head, if that makes sense, and not physically saying anything. And something just happened in that moment where I just burst into the tears. And sorry, this has gone super deep so early, but you asked. So I burst into tears and just lay flat out on her bed. And she came over like, oh, what's happening? What's happening? What's wrong? What's wrong? And she was like, what's the matter? What's the matter? And I literally couldn't say anything. The only words I could get out, I was like, you know, like, you know, and you're really crying a lot like a child and you're like and you can't speak. It was like that, and the only words I could get out were I don't feel like myself. And that's kind of like the moment where I really kind of realized what I'd been living up until that point in my life for probably like 5 or 6 years prior to that. And that was a moment of like the tears were like relief, like unhappiness, like confusion, sadness, like just a bit of everything all in one. And it was the first time I kind of not only said it out loud to someone that I wasn't feeling myself anymore, but also kind of admitted it to myself. So that was like awakening moment number one, because that was a kind of when I really, like I said, figured out somehow something, just the penny just dropped that I'd been suffering for so many years. And then I would say the second spiritual awakening was, I'm going to say earlier this year, you know. I was actually going to give a different story, but I'm going to say earlier this year, because this year has been like really full of up and downs. But it, what it's really done is it's really helped me understand my character and my beliefs and just more about myself and my wants and how I want to live my life moving forward. And a lot of that was down to some traveling I did in Japan at the start of the year. Another part of it was just to some incredible people who I've met this year, and also down to just like reading more kind of spiritual books and kind of just deciding on like slowing everything down in my life and wanting to kind of just live more presently rather than always chasing something and always trying to do something, always trying to like achieve something. I just wanted to like try and be present and live each moment as best as possible. And that's like something that I was kind of, you know, I kind of believed and wanted to do anyway, sort of last year and the year before, but it's really kind of come out this year, like completely.
And you know, it's an amazing story that from that moment of someone saying, why aren't you saying anything? Like all of this has kind of unfolded. So what were you sort of doing before you spiritually awakened job wise?
So before the first spiritually awakening moment, when I left school, I didn't go to uni. So I did my A levels. I got really bad results. I got like D, E, and U. I didn't go to uni, sorry. And I decided that I wanted to go straight into work. So my idea was always to try and get work in some sort of creative like business. I wasn't sure what that was going to be. Advertising was always kind of appealing to me because I had my cousin worked in advertising. So it was kind of an avenue for me. But I didn't really know what I wanted to do in that world. And then I ended up not working for like a year and just doing like part-time work in my uncle's like shop on a Saturday and just stuff like that. And I was doing like other stuff like delivery driving, and I was working like overnight shifts in like a factory at one point and helping like another family member like who used to fit double glazing windows. So I was just doing like all sorts of jobs just to earn a bit of money. And then I got a job with a family friend working in a factory, which made blank canvases for artists to paint onto. And I did that for 2.5 years. And I think that's really when like my depression kind of started to kind of set in, really. Cause I was like in a really bad place in terms of like what I was doing, et cetera, et cetera. And then after that, I got a job working in events and marketing. And I did that for 1.5 years. And then at the time I was with my girlfriend and had the kind of breakdown / awakening moment, I got another job and I was working in advertising as an assistant TV producer. So lots of different jobs and lots of different things. And I was also doing lots of stuff outside of work. So like before the podcast, I've been someone who's always had like hobbies and, you know, side hustles, people call them or whatever. But like I had a music blog with one of my best mates at school, which we ran for like 7-8 years. That evolved into club nights, at regular club nights in London. So we were doing all of that stuff outside of work as well as like our full-time jobs. And that was going on while I was kind of working in advertising and marketing and all those sorts of things. So yeah. And then when I left advertising, I got a job at the BBC for Radio One Extra, looking after their social media channels. And I did that for like 4.5 years. I left last summer in August to go freelance. And then since then, I've done some more work at the BBC some work with Spotify, kind of music-based stuff, really, just because of my background. So, yeah, it's kind of, there's been a lot of different steps along the way. It hasn't been like one consistent career, if that makes sense.
And you often find that that's the case with lots of people. I mean, I've done a whole array of different things.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's good that you can sort of express your creativity in ways which really fulfill you, but equally you're also like following your passion and your purpose too.
And what made you go from like job to job?
I think I just did. My story's very similar to yours. I did not know what to do. I wanted to run my own business, but I didn't know what in. I didn't know what you could do. And obviously, when I was in school, you know, things like YouTube, influencers, all this, none of this existed. So for me, my intuition knew that this was what I wanted to do, but I didn't know how on earth that would happen. So I worked in banking. I worked in a phone shop for ages. Then obviously went into banking, then started up a money saving and couponing website, which is what I'm kind of more known for, which I sold last year. I'd run for 6 years and now I'm doing this. So each have positively impacted. And that's what I say to people with finding their purpose, that each step along the way has guided me. It's been needed. It's been all part of the journey. But actually, sometimes doing what I didn't enjoy taught me what I wanted to do as well. I don't know.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, definitely. Like, because I always thought, like, yeah, events and marketing sounds really cool. And then I started doing it and I was like, oh, do you know what? This isn't for me. And like, there was just loads of stuff that happened behind the scenes with that job anyway, that kind of just, it just played out that it wasn't going to be the thing for me. And then I got into advertising. I was like, yeah, really good job, like really good company that I'm working for. I was earning decent money. You know, I was like 22, 23 or something at the time, earning like really good money for someone who didn't have a degree. And after like 6 months, I was like, yeah, this really isn't for me either. And again, like, don't get me wrong, that might not have just been the job. That might have also been down to where I was personally with my mindset and stuff. So, you know, it's all dependent, but yeah, that wasn't for me. And then I started doing the social media job at One Extra and I loved it. And, you know, I still hold that really dearly in my heart. That will always be like my favorite job that I've had, working for someone kind of thing, because I did it for so long and I was so passionate about it, but ultimately it wasn't for me. And the thing that I've always struggled with is like, I've always wanted to like work for myself or have a business, but I've also kind of got like work commitment issues because I don't want to like, because like I said, I want to live every moment presently, right? So that might mean like I'm very random at times in terms of like, I went to Japan at the start of this year and I booked it like 4 weeks before I went, and I went for a month. I went to Canada like a few weeks ago and I booked it 3 weeks before I went. So like I can be very spontaneous with things like that. And I find that if I say to myself like, okay, I'm going to do this, I always feel like I'm tying myself down to one thing. And it's like, I can be super like, you know, I like to do photography. I like to travel. I've just started to learn to skateboard because I've decided that's like the thing I want to learn at the minute. And it's like, I just come up with all these random things I just want to do. And sometimes I find like if I feel committed to something work-wise for too long, although I might enjoy the process of it, like the podcast, don't get me wrong, I've got like, you know, nearly 120 episodes of the podcast, like that, they don't just happen, but like I enjoy the process of it. But when it starts to feel like work and it feels like I'm tying myself down to something, I start to get like commitment issues with it. So I'm always in a weird space of like, I want to do all this stuff and like, you know, build this business for myself, and I've got all these ideas of what the business should be and et cetera. But then when I start to implement them, I start to be like, oh, actually, do I want to do that? I might just want to go traveling for 2 months next year. And it's like, I'm in a place in my life where I spent so long of my 20s and probably my late teens being very unhappy. Whereas now in like the last 2-3 years, I've been in like the best place I've ever been in. It's like, I really just want to enjoy it. I want to enjoy living and I want to enjoy life. And I don't want to feel like I'm committed to too much. So I'm going through this whole like non-attachment phase at the minute of just like not trying, because although I said I've got work commitment issues, I'm also quite loyal in the sense of like, I'm loyal to my friends and to the things I have. Like, I find it really hard to throw things out. And I like those sort of comforts. So I'm going through this whole non-attachment process of trying to not feel too attached to too many things so I can be more dynamic and more, you know, live more presently and be more in the moment and just flow with life a bit more.
So you, in your work, you talk about the 1% rule.
Yeah.
And how have you used this, and what is it for people who don't know what the 1% rule is?
So the 1% rule. So I came across the 1% rule through, I think I was listening to a podcast like 3-4 years ago. I can't even remember who it was or what podcast it was, but I just remember hearing this thing about 1%. And it, I think they were talking about business, and they were talking about if you can just like make 1%, you know, if you can increase your profits by 1% every day, then at the end of the year, you're going to have a very successful business. It was very like that kind of chat. But then I looked at it and I thought, actually, do you know what? What if I applied that to my life? What if I took 1% as a principle, as a theory, and what if I applied that to my life and try to make my life or make a positive change in my life every day by just using 1%? So I looked at it and, you know, it's not exactly 1% every day, but like that might have been just committing to 10 minutes meditation, you know, that like today, for example, and then tomorrow I commit to 10 minutes again. And then the next day, 10 minutes again. And then over 10 days, I've done 10 days of meditation, over 30 days of meditation. But if you look at it in, as a long-term thing, so like if I look at, say, from today, if I said, right, Emma, I'm going to commit to doing 100 days of meditation in a row, something inside me is going to go, oh my God, that feels so scary. That's 100. Do you know how long 100 days is? That's so far. Like, how are you going to do it? Whereas if I just said to myself, actually, I'm going to commit today to doing 10 minutes of meditation, that's really achievable. And it's a really small amount of time. So that's just one example of something that I did, was like, I started to meditate more, or I started to look at having a positive conversation with someone, or I went through a phase of like phoning friends while I was on my lunch and just trying to commit to that every day, just that day, not worrying about what I'm going to do tomorrow, who I'm going to call next week, just that day. Who do I fancy calling? Call a friend, have a 5-minute conversation. That was my 1%. So it was about looking at really small positive changes that I could implement in my life daily and not worry about the long term, just focus on what I can do today and now. And then over the long term, those 1% build up. Like if I started today and committed 1% every day for the next year, that's 365%. Now the maths itself doesn't actually add up like that. It actually works out to be more like 40% or something because of the way it works. But it, in theory, that was my thinking, was that if I can make myself 365% better by this time next year, just by doing 1% a day, then where am I going to be in my life this time next year? Like spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally. So it's just looking at like different areas of my life that I could apply it to. So like work, going to the gym, or like doing stretching, or committing to some sort of exercise every day. Like meditation was one, reading was one, listening to like inspiring podcasts was another. Just little things like that, you know, just like looking at those areas and going, where is the 1% that I can make today? And then just commit to that every day and not worry about the rest. The rest will just fall into place.
I love that. And you're so right of, it sounds so much less pressure when you say it, that 1% a day, and it's so achievable for everybody. And it's so true. If you just committed to a habit or a new something, you know, whether it's self-help related or exercise, yeah, health, whatever you mean, if you just committed to one new thing or trying one new thing a day, you know, you're gonna have 365 new amazing habits or 365 exactly, new nuggets of knowledge which you didn't know before. So no, exactly. I love that. It's epic. So
you see, even like, do you know what's another one that I thought about, was like, there was two. There was one, was like, if I read say 10 pages every day.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
That's not a lot in a day, really. Like 10 pages probably takes you 20 minutes or 25, 30 minutes, depending how fast or slow you read. But if you did that every day, in 100 days, that's going to be 1,000 pages. That's like 2.5, 3 books. Do you know what I mean? So like over the course of a year, if you're doing that every day, just 10 pages, you're going to read a heck of a lot of books in that year. And that's what I did as well. I just committed to that. And then the other thing is, there's probably someone even now, to be honest, who's listening to this, who like wants to write a book. Like if you commit to writing 250 words a day and just commit to that, once you get to 250 words, stop. If you did that every day for 100 days, again, you're going to have written a lot of words. Do you know what I mean? That's like, I can't even do the maths on that one, 25,000 words or something. Do you know what I mean? That's like, it's a ridiculous amount, but people, like, we don't want to commit to those things if we look at it in the long term. If I said to you, all right, Emma, go and write a book, you're going to be like, whoa, hold on. I'm going to say, I want you to write for me a 400-page book. You're going to be like, whoa, hold on, that's like a big commitment. There's a lot of things I need to do. Whereas if I said to you, Emma, go and write 200 words a day for the next 30 days, that seems achievable.
Definitely.
And it probably turns into a 400-page book somewhere along the line. Do you know what I mean? So it's just like breaking things down in a really simplistic way.
Definitely. No, it's great. So talking about morning and nighttime routines, what do you do and why do you feel these are important?
So again, it comes down to those positive changes, to be honest. It was like, I looked at my life and I thought, okay, it started with regular exercise. Like I'm going to be 32 next month, right? By my 28th birthday, I had never been to the gym. Like I'd never signed up to a gym. I'd never done a proper workout, like nothing. Like I'd played a lot of football and stuff when I was a kid, but that was about it. And I've always been pretty fit because I did play football when I was younger, but I'd never like stepped foot in a gym or, you know, any of that stuff. So when I was 28, I said to myself, right, how can I start to get myself into shape? Because I wanted I made this kind of little promise to myself of like, by the time I turn 30, I want to be in the best place I've ever been in my life, spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. So physically, obviously, you think of exercise. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to sign up to the gym. I'm going to start going. And I started going to the gym near where I used to live to like evening classes at like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock and all this sort of stuff. But then what I found was like after a long day at work, I was just making excuses of like, oh, I can't be bothered. I'll go tomorrow. I'm tired. Like I want to go home. I'm hungry. Or I'm going to go for a drink after work or go meet a friend. Like there was always an excuse that could be made. So I started looking at it and go, okay, my 1% is going to be going to the gym regularly. So how can I make that happen? And I looked at my day and I thought, actually, if I just got up a couple of hours earlier than I normally do, I can actually start going to the gym in the morning. There's no reason why I can't get up at 6 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock and start going to the gym. So I started doing that regularly. I started working out. And then I started incorporating other things into that, like listening to podcasts while I was working out. And then I started looking into it more and I started adding things like reading and meditation and gratitude journal and all these little things that I could add into a morning that by the time I've left for work, I've almost done like a whole day's worth of stuff in like a window of like 2 hours, 2.5 hours. By the time I was fortunately starting work at 10 o'clock. So I could leave my flat because I was living pretty close at like 9:30 and be at work at 10, which meant I had like 3 hours in the morning to fit as much stuff in as possible that could straight away make a positive impact on my day. So to answer the question of my morning routine, that was why I started a morning routine. And it was, I wanted to do it for the benefits I was getting out of it for all of those different reasons of like spiritually, emotionally, physically, and mentally. So at the minute, my morning routine looks a little like this. So I wake up, my alarm goes off at 6. I first thing I do is I drink a glass of water because it's really good to rehydrate your your brain, because when you're sleeping, obviously you're not taking in water, so you always wake up dehydrated. So it's good to rehydrate your brain. Water's also really good to kickstart your digestive system in the morning. So I always have a glass of water first thing. Then I'll have a banana because I go upstairs, I get changed. And then I head to the gym. I'm at the gym for like, so when I say I wake up at six, what I mean is my alarm goes off at six. I get out of bed at 6:30. I'm in the gym by 7. I do like an hour's workout, or 40 minutes working out, 20 minutes of stretching. Then I get home, have breakfast, shower, meditate. And then when I'm being really, really good, I'll have like a little gratitude journal that I fill in, but I haven't really been doing that too recently because my morning routine shifted a little bit time-wise. And then when I get on the tube to go to work, I'm living a bit further away from work now. So I've actually got like a 30-minute train journey. So I read on the tube. So by the time I've got to work, I've done all of these positive things like working out, meditating. I've had a healthy breakfast. I've rehydrated my body. I've done my gratitude. I've done my reading. They're all like really, you know, powerful, impactful things. And then in the nighttime, I kind of almost like reverse all of the rest of the day. So I'm really big on sleep. Like I have to try and get 7 hours of good sleep every night to like be working at a good level of like just feeling good. And I don't mean that in like a work productivity thing. I mean like just to feel good. And so what I do is I try to stop. So I kind of, probably quite similar to you, I work quite late on my laptop because when I get home from work, I'll have things to do like edit the podcast or make videos or do some writing or some researching or listening to, you know, something or whatever. So I try to like stop working on my laptop by 10 o'clock normally, so that I give myself like an hour before bed when I'm not looking at any screens. And then my nighttime routine is I will meditate again for 20 minutes. I will read when I'm in bed and then I go to sleep and have a nice 7 hours sleep.
No, that's cool. And like, I am such a preacher of routine as well, like morning routines, evening routines, just because it really does set you up for the day. And I am such an advocate of a gratitude practice because it literally, honestly, like I can't even begin to explain how amazing I feel from just doing that every single morning. And the first thing, like as soon as I wake up, I'm just giving gratitude. Like it's an awesome feeling. And definitely to anybody listening who's not doing it, you know I preach this. So
What's your morning and nighttime routine?
So my morning routine is I will wake up, try to drink as much water as possible, but I'm not as good as Alex. And I will then sort of just get straight on with my gratitude practice because I'm really passionate about sort of doing that first, to before I check my phone, before I sort of like get into the grind of work and stuff. I'll then sort of pull some oracle cards for the day if I've sort of want some inspiration or advice or words of wisdom, affirmations, things like that. Then I'll cleanse my crystals if I feel like cleansing my crystals. If not, then I'll sort of just go on to sort of my worky things, and then sort of get things up for the day, like my affirmations I post, etc. So I'll sort of gradually ease into work while still being quite relaxed, so that by 10 basically I've got everything done. I'll meditate if I'm feeling really good, but again, that's not every single day. EFT I do sometimes as well, emotional freedom technique, but it really just depends on what I need that day. I'm always very intuition based rather than I must do this, because as I say to like my clients and things, you know, if you are forcing yourself to do it, it becomes a chore. And these daily practices should be joy. They should be fun, because especially when you're doing gratitude, if you're just focusing on getting 10 things written down to get an A star or something, then that's not really the purpose of the practice. The purpose is the feeling behind it, you know, the good feeling that you feel. So with anything like yourself or going to the gym, if that's a feel good practice to do, you know, it's just doing it, whatever, like, you know, whether it's what Alex does or what I do or something completely different, it's really cultivating a habit each day, which will set you up positively for the day. And obviously achieve what your goal is here, whether it's, you know, spiritual, physical, emotional health, and just, you know, positively being consistent with that by making it manageable. And then in the evening, Again, I will sort of do some meditation if I feel drawn to it, but I like to read in the evening. I feel a lot more settled to read in the evening. And then I'll do gratitude again in the evening, just sort of in my mind. I'll sort of go over things that have happened throughout the day, and just give gratitude for little wins or little joy moments throughout the day, which have, you know, made me happy or been a nice surprise. And obviously my skincare routines come into that as well. So yeah, it's just about looking at all aspects of your life, whether it's self-love, self-care, and just, yeah, creating a practice that works for you, essentially.
Yeah. Have you ever done that thing of like, it's kind of like a gratitude journal, but you write down three things every day on like a bit of paper and then put them into a box. And then at the end of the month or at the end of 3 months, you like open the box and go through all those things that you were grateful for and just have like a really nice moment of like ultimate gratitude.
Oh, I haven't, but that sounds good. I think we're all going to be doing that now.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done it either, but something you said just made me reminded me of it. So I'm just thinking, actually, I might do that this month, or like when November starts, just like do it every day. And then at the end of the month, be like, okay, yeah, this is great. I feel amazing.
Well, definitely. I'll do it like on New Year's Eve or something for like 2019 appreciation.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So one of my last final questions to you is, what are your top tips for finding your passions in life?
It's a good question. I would say, I think you said something quite interesting just a minute ago about being like quite intuitive about it. And I think like we spend a lot of our lives, and I know I definitely have, speaking from experience, I spent a lot of my life kind of doing things that I thought were what I was passionate about, but really I was doing them because I thought it was going to make me look good to other people, if that makes sense. So sorry, I dropped my headphones. An example being, actually I can't even think of an example, to be honest, but I know there's just things in my life that I've done that have kind of fit in that bucket, whereas now I'm a lot more like, actually, if I'm feeling passionate about this thing, that passion might last for 3 months, 6 months, it might last for 6 years, I don't know, but if I'm feeling it now, I'm gonna do it now. And that's how I try to like figure everything out these days, is like, how do I feel about this thing now? If I really feel like this is what I want to be doing now, then I'll do it. So an example is recently, so I've got like a weekly newsletter, right, that I send an email out every day, every Monday. I should send one out every Monday, and etc. So I have to write it, I have to, you know, compose it, I have to schedule it and all that sort of stuff. But recently I just haven't been in the vibe of it, I just haven't felt it, so I've kind of not been sending as many as I was, say, 6 months ago. But now I've started to do a little bit of writing again. I've started to get back into the habit of like writing and feeling nice about it, so I've started to get more into, actually, I need to start scheduling the newsletter. Sorry, dog's barking at me. Schedule the newsletter again. So it's like I just tend to go with how I feel about things. Like skateboarding is another example I mentioned earlier that I just started to learn. Like, so I've literally been learning like 4 or 5 months, and it's just something that right now I'm really into. So I'm going to keep doing it until I get to a point where I'm like, actually, I'm not really feeling this anymore, and I'll find something else to do. So it's like, I just try to fill my passions in the moment, because they change. And it's like, we don't have to have the same passions throughout our lives. Like, it's impossible. Like, we're only human. Our passions are going to change. They're going to come, they're going to go. The same with anything else. So it's just like, feel what it is that you're into right now and go with that thing, because that thing might take you on a really amazing road that you would never ever in a million years have thought about. But at the same time, it might turn into a job, but at the same time it might turn into something else, or you might meet some amazing people who become incredibly close friends of yours, but you don't do the passion thing anymore, but you remain friends with these people. So you just don't know about like the opportunities that are going to come to just being more open to like ideas and moments and passions and things like that. So yeah, I think it's, for me, it's about just living my passions in the moment, like, and just rolling with them. And like I said, like almost like ride the wave until that wave dies, and then you pick up a new wave and you ride that one for a little bit. So that's how I approach it in a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. And I couldn't have said it better myself. That's what I've done. And I know a lot of, you know, successful people do, you know, they follow those intuition moments, those waves, until they get new intuition or a new download or a new sense of
what
they sort of want to follow. And that, I think that's the beauty of how things can evolve. And each wave that you do catch will teach you something new, which you can use overall in your sort of life path. So what is one piece of life advice that you would like to leave my listeners with today?
That's a difficult number. I would say go with the flow, let things be what they are, see situations for what they are, and just live moment to moment, like live little by little, bit by bit. You know, it is what it is, all the cliches that come with it, but like really just ride the wave of life. Don't try and kind of cling onto that wave and try and make that wave as long as possible and try to think about the wave that you caught before or like the potential next wave that you might catch. Just ride the wave that you're riding and enjoy it while it's there.
Love it. So simple, but I love it. It's so true for so many different aspects of our life. I love that. Well, it's been such a pleasure talking to you today. I'm sure our listeners have got some amazing advice on how to kind of flow with their passions and obviously use the 1% rule as well. So thank you so much for sharing that.
No problem.
And where can my lovely listeners find you if they want to know more about you?
So the best place and the place that I hang out the most is on Instagram, and you can find me there at I Am Alex Manzi. I'm also on Twitter under the same handle at I Am Alex Manzi. Where else can you find me? If you want to listen to the podcast Dreamer's Disease, you can find it on pretty much every platform. So that's Apple, that's Spotify, that's, you know, Stitcher, that's all of them basically. And yeah, if you want to see really bad videos of me skateboarding, then you can find them on my Instagram as well. So in case you're interested.
I love it. And I will link Alex's Instagram or website down below as well if you want a clickable link too. Well, thank you so much, Alex, for being here. It's been amazing.
Pleasure.
Chatting with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. It's been wicked. And we'll have to reverse it and get you on my podcast at some point. I'm sure we'll figure out a date at some point.
Absolutely. So thank you so much, guys, for joining me for another one of my episodes today. I hope you have enjoyed Alex and I's conversation. As always, you can find more information about Alex in the description box down below, as well as any information about myself, my coaching. You can find it all on emmamumford.co.uk. So thank you so much, guys, for listening. I appreciate all your views and listens. Don't forget to subscribe if you're new here, because I would love to see you again soon. Don't forget you can join the conversation over on my Facebook group, Law of Attraction Support Group as well, which is a free group. So please come over and say hi, and I will see you all in my next podcast episode, which will be next week. Lots of love, guys.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.